When we think of the natural law, we should be thinking of living the best possible life. Listen in to find out more. Oh, hey, real quick, my wife and I have been running this marriage ministry as a nonprofit since 2023 as our full-time work. It's supporting ourselves and our 7 children. So if Catholicism and marriage are things that you're passionate about, we'd like to invite you to support our work at whatever level you like, monthly if possible. The link to give is in the description, and regardless, we're glad you're here, and now on with the show.
Welcome to A Word from Our Outpost.
With Joseph and Crystal Gruber.
A podcast for Catholic disciples who are wrestling to be missionary-minded in their normal everyday lives.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Direct, O Lord, our actions by thy holy inspiration, and carry them on by thy gracious assistance, that every word and work of ours may begin in thee, and by thee be happily ended. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello, and welcome to A Word from Our Outpost. I am Joseph Gruber, here to talk to you today about the natural law and about the 5 inclinations of the natural law. So, St. Thomas Aquinas addresses this somewhere in the Summa. I didn't actually look it up before I did this because I'm going to be drawing a lot more from Servé Pinquer's Morality, the Catholic View. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see me holding a vaguely pinkish book by Servé Pinquer, who was a Dominican, which makes sense for him to be commenting on something from the Summa. Anyway, the natural law. I think people throw the word natural law out a lot, and it doesn't necessarily conjure up the same kind of image that it probably should. Some of us might be thinking of like the law of the jungle, or you know, survival of the fittest, or might making right, or something about whatever the animals are doing. That's probably how we ought to act. So if we can see something in the natural world that justifies any kind of action that we want to take, and that's not what the natural law is actually talking about. The natural law is talking about how we have a nature as humans that is intrinsic to us. There's a way of being human, and the description of that is what we call the natural law. It's a description of what it is to be human and what makes for a flourishing life. That's what it is. That's what the natural law is about. It's about you being more perfectly you. You living out your own existence as you ought, in a way that fulfills you and in a way that actually brings real joy and happiness. That's what the natural law is about. The natural law is about you becoming more awesome. That's what the natural law is. And so Servé Pinquer talks about how if we examine who we are, like what kind of a being we are, we will see these inclinations of the natural law sort of just be part and parcel, that they'll make sense. And he ties them to the transcendentals, which I love. And these are just things that make sense. At the end, I'll also talk about how my wife and I talk about some of these inclinations as part of our marriage ministry, but for now, I'm just going to talk about what Servé Pinquer talks about. He says that there are basically 5 inclinations, 5 fundamental inclinations flowing from the essential components of our nature and linked to the transcendentals. So the first one is a yearning for the good. So the basic part of the natural law that you may have heard of before is do good, avoid evil. Or more technically true, good is that thing that ought to be desired, that is desirable, and evil is the thing that we should find repugnant, that we should find not worth our time and effort. So this is saying that we are radically oriented toward goodness, that good things are what we are longing for. And then you might be like, well, that's not super helpful, Joseph. Like, I'm with you, but not really. Okay, great. We could then, he then talks about how there are different kinds of goods. There's a pleasurable good and a useful good. And then the fullness of it is loving things for their own sake, that we see in them goodness, and we love them for the goodness that we see. And I love this because this is very much in the spirit of Dietrich von Hildebrandt, who says that there is an objective value to things in the world, to the creation that God has made, and to God himself, and that objective value should evince from us the proper response, and that proper response is to love the good, and to pursue the good, and to act in accord with the good. So there are levels of goodness, right? Just as there are levels of friendship, same basic levels. There is the pleasant, the useful, and the good in and of itself. And that's going to carry on to like the ordering of our loves as they stand. Okay, so that's the first one. Do good, avoid evil. There's another inclination to preserve being. So being is not often listed popularly as one of the transcendentals, but it certainly is. Like, it's the transcendental. It is the foundation of everything else that things are. Then their goodness flows from the fact that they are. And the call to being is something that we can enter into rationally, volitionally. We get to participate in our own being, which means that we're not called to just maintain ourselves as the vegetative order does, that we can actually set ourselves up for thriving, that we can actually do the things that will be most to our advantage, and that we ought to, that we are inclined to growth, that we are inclined to not just maintenance, but to excellence. So the second one is that it's a call to being, but it's a call to a kind of excellent being, a call to a life worth living. Okay, third inclination is an inclination to marry. So I think this one kind of flows from the fact that we preserve our being personally, but we also preserve the human race through procreation. And this call to marriage, it's not the call to the sort of instinctive, lustful, or base creation of life as a sort of knee-jerk response to outward stimuli. It is, again, a volitional, rational, loving entry into a relationship with another, the relationship then spilling out into new life. That's what marriage is. It's for the procreation and education of children, and it's also for the mutual support of the spouses. It's founded on the love of spouses. That's what it's about. That's what, in the Song of Songs, they say that the love of husband and wife is something worth more than pretty much anything you could exchange for it. So this is an inclination, right? Like, if we are human, we are inclined to pass on life. Some of us, the inclination to pass on life, it's coming biologically and spiritually. For some people, it's to pass on life spiritually alone. For no one really is the call to just pass on life biologically. That's just not a call. That is what animals do, is that they blindly and spiritlessly pass on life. We are called to pass on life in the fullness of life. The call to marriage is not just a biological urge. It is a whole person inclination to pass on the goodness of life. So that's the third one, is the call to marriage. The fourth one is to know the truth, that we are called to know truth. So goodness and being and truth are our transcendentals. We are called to know truth. So our speech is called to communicate truth. We are called to know truth, to continue to learn, to continue to communicate truth. That we are called to knowledge, to know about things. We're called to understanding, that we're called to know the connection between things, that we're called to wisdom, to know what things are for. That these are levels of truth that we are called to, that we are inclined to, that we should be pursuing. That is part of the natural law, is to know truth. It's part of the natural law to pursue the good, to exist, to bring other people into existence, and it's good to know the truth. And then the last one is the natural inclination to life in society, that we are called to live with other people. We are a social or a political animal. We have a need for it in terms of our own survival, because we are not perfect in and of ourselves. This is why when God looks at Adam, he says it's not good for man to be alone, that there is a longing, a sense of incompleteness of being solitary. And even in marriage, you know, the family is not a perfect unit in the sense of complete unto itself. It actually requires the state. It requires a community around it for some of its needs. It's perfect insofar as the day-to-day, but not perfect insofar as the overarching needs of the people in it. We are called to community. We are called to living with other people, to be able to express our needs, our wants, to hear other people's needs and wants, to respond to those needs and wants, to participate in life in common with one another. And I think, yeah, so which transcendental that one falls under, I suppose it's part of beauty, or maybe that's still a flowing from both truth and being. That was less clear with pink hairs. Anyway, we're called to goodness and being and truth and beauty. These are things that we're called to. The natural law is saying, yes, you are inclined to those things. You are right in pursuing those things. You are right in desiring those things. You are right every time you choose on behalf of those things. And correspondingly, when we choose against those things, we're again acting against our very being. We're acting against our very nature. We are causing harm to ourselves by not living up to the description of our being that is provided by the natural law. And my wife and I, we talk about three of these in our marriage ministry because, well, five is a lot to talk about. And these three seem to be really relevant to our marriage ministry. One, that we're called to a life that's worth living. Two, that we're called to a life that's worth sharing. And three, that we're called to a life that's worth multiplying. That we're called to these three things, a life worth living, sharing, and multiplying. To talk about how we're called to a life of being, that we're called to a life in society and to marriage, sort of combining those two for ease of communicating the ideas. And then we're called to a life of multiplying, which is an extension of call to marriage. Because I think people don't know this. People don't know that the very fact that they're walking, talking persons, the very fact that they are human beings, the very fact that they can look in a mirror and see themselves, a reflection of themselves, is evidence that they are subject to or operating under the conditions of the natural law, right? Like the natural law, it's like looking at the handbook for what it is to be human, looking at the owner's manual for humanity and saying, oh yeah, these guys are cool because they are ordered volitionally and rationally. They get to will it and they get to know about it. The fact that they are called to goodness and being and truth and beauty, they get to know that and they get to live it. That's a really cool thing. It is helpful to remember that, especially if we are bad at it, if we are bad at living the life of a human, is to remember, oh, wait, I'm actually made for something more than this. I'm made for something better than this. I am made for a more fulfilling life than the one that I've been choosing. I know it can be really hard to break habits of sin. I know it can be hard to get out of our comfortable ruts. I know that it can be hard to re-envision our lives anew, to say, yes, there is something more out there for me. And yet, the thing that's out there for me is the thing that I am made for. I actually have a human nature that is ordered toward truth and goodness and beauty. That is more fundamental than the dumb decisions that I make. It is more fundamental than the bad habits that I've gotten into. It is more fundamental than the time that I've wasted on the wrong turns. More fundamental than that is the fact that I am human, which means that I am made for truth and goodness and beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not just me and it's not just you. It's everybody you've ever met and everybody that you ever will meet is they're made for truth and goodness and beauty. They are made to live in accord with the natural law, which means that their very being is cooperating with you if you're trying to tell them about a better way of life, which means that there is reason to have hope, even for the most hopeless of cases that we come across, that conspiring against their wayward will is their very being. I know a lot of people get really obsessed with the fact that there is a spiritual realm, and that spiritual realm includes the demonic, includes the foul powers that stalk the earth, looking for chances to devour us. I get that those things happen, and I get that those can be real, and I get that those can be really problematic. I do want to affirm that everybody that you've ever met and everybody that you ever will meet, including you, they are all made for truth and goodness and beauty, that God is drawing close to every single one of them. At every moment, in every place, God draws close to them. And God is providing a path for you to become a saint and for everyone around you to be a saint, that there is a next step. There is a next step for you. There is a next step for everyone else. And getting to walk that path with other people is one of the great joys of life. In fact, it may be the great joy this side of heaven is to walk that path with other people, that letting people know that they are made for more, that letting people know that there is more out there, that letting people know that their very being is crying out for the never-ending goodness that is God and his creation that is showing forth his glory, that is their birthright, that is what they are made for, that is a great life to live. Ladies and gentlemen, I put these podcasts out into the ether because I want you to know that you are made for truth and goodness and beauty, and they will ultimately be found in Christ, that the Holy Spirit does in fact desire to dwell in you and to live with you, to cooperate with you in the great work that is the sanctification, the perfection of the temporal order. And that particular mission that you have is worth living. That the particular mission that you have, that God has in store for you, is one that leads to your greatest joy. The decisions that we make that we think are easier, the decisions that we make that we think will get us out of trouble, that we're making not because we're called to them, but because we are saying not yet to the call from God, they're not worth it. They're not worth the time wasted. They're not worth the opportunities lost. I say this on our marriage podcast all the time. For the married couples out there, you have one life to live and one spouse to love. For everybody out there, you have one life to live and one mission to live out. And you get this is a moment. Maybe listening to this podcast is the prompt you need to have the conversation that you're supposed to have, to reach out to the person you're called to reach out, to smile, to be present to be loving toward the next person you see. I hope that that's the case. That's one of the reasons that I do this podcast, is for you to be set up for greater success in living out your very being. The pattern of your being is ordered toward truth and goodness and beauty. The pattern of your being is ordered toward a social life where you cooperate with other people in living flourishing lives. The very pattern of your being is toward fruitfulness. The very pattern of your being is toward goodness. And if I can help you in any way, shape, or form to see that, to live it, to share it, I am delighted. That is the episode. That is the whole of it. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
From our outpost to yours, thanks for listening. And a special thanks to John Mark Skoch.
That's S-K-O-C-H.
For the music.
Check him out on Spotify.